Hey, what's up, everybody? Good morning and welcome to Life Point Church. Y'all doing okay today, everybody? Come on, what a great day to be in God's house. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I love that passage from the Psalms, and I quote it often here. I just think it's a great day to be in church, and I love coming together with you guys in worship, and we get to come into his house with give him praise and thanks and hear from the Lord. Amen, everybody? We are starting a brand new series today called Foundations, and let me just tell you, if you're a guest with us today, we want to say a big welcome to you, and thanks for being here. Again, my name is Mike Burnett. I get to serve here as lead pastor. I want to take a moment and welcome all of our online watchers and family. We are so thankful to be one church all around the world, really. We're in Korea, Afghanistan. We've got folks that are in Texas, the foreign country of West Virginia. We're so thankful for you guys. We'll slow down as much as we need to for some of y'all in Kentucky, bless God. Anyway. I'm sorry. I'm from Louisiana. We are 50th on every list, so don't, you know, I can hate. Hey, but anyway, we want to say welcome to everybody who's watching, as well as our our video service today. We love you guys and so thankful that you would make room for others by watching this video online. And so every Sunday, three of our services are live. The 8 o'clock is always live because it's our filming broadcast service. And then one of our other four Rossview services are live, one of the other four is video at Rossview Road location. Plus, we're at two services at our North Clarksville campus at West Creek Middle School. And today, we go live with our Fort Lewis, Seattle, Washington micro campus. We are so thankful for you guys, and we welcome you, as well as our San Antonio campus. We've got a micro site there. We're a church in five locations now, and we just thank God that he is growing his church here. Somebody say amen. All right, I got a lot to talk about today. We are starting a brand new series. We finished the book of Romans after 14 months. Hey, by the way, if you have not gotten your tickets for Flourish, they're almost gone. Like, y'all need to get your Flourish tickets. I'm coming just to stare at the conference host the whole time. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to look at her. Man, that girl. Whoo, my wife. Whoo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Is it too far? Probably. I don't care. I got four kids, and that's why. You know what I'm saying? I still like looking at her. But hey, if you don't have a ticket for Flourish, we want Life Point folks to get those tickets. Fellas, get your wife, get your lady a ticket. We are starting this series called Foundations. Now, I just believe there are some foundations in the life of Christ followers that we need to establish and reestablish. And so today, I want to ask you to lean in to this series. Don't miss a single week of these four messages, and I know spring break's going to hit us on the last week. I want to encourage you to make every effort to get here, to be a part of this service, these services, and lean into this series. I've been a part of two building projects here at Life Point Church, and I love the process of building new buildings. I don't like the stressful part of fundraising for them, but I do love the design phase and the construction phase. In fact, the building that we're in now, I mean, I remember sketching ideas about this on a napkin, and then to see it and us living in it, I just love the building process. And one of my favorite parts of a building process is when they dig out the ground and lay footers, when they start putting the footprint of the building in the ground. One of my good friends is building a house in the neighborhood that I live in. And every day I come in and I drive down to the new house as they're building. And right now they're in the cinder block and the footer stage of the building. And I just think that's the coolest part. And you know, it's interesting, like, The unseen part of the house is always first. The unseen part of the house is actually the most important. Listen, without a healthy or well-built foundation, a house is destined to struggle. A house is actually destined to fall apart. Nobody looks at a beautiful house and talks about its foundation, though. I mean, when's the last time you were driving through a neighborhood to talk about foundations? Man, Farmington is full of beautiful foundations. Have you seen the footers in this neighborhood? Nobody does that. You don't go to New York City and get a photo of the ground line. You get photos of the skyline, right? I mean, we go look at buildings and we look up. But there's something so necessary and so important about what's under all of that, what's underground, what's unseen, what's built first, because nothing can go up if it didn't first go down. I mean, that's true in nature. Trees, the bigger a tree grows up, the bigger its root system has to go down. And there's something about our lives as followers of Christ. I want to ask you this question, like, what foundations are you building in your life? Are you building foundations that resemble the things of God? Are you building foundations that look like Scripture? Are you building foundations of greed and jealousy and hypocrisy and sexual immorality or brokenness or dissension in your workplace? Are you building foundations of godliness and fruit of the Spirit? Every day, I've been praying this over my daughter over my daughters, but in particular, as I drop my oldest one off for school, I pray the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, because I want those to be foundational stones in her life. So I prayed every day over her. What foundations have you built? What foundations are you building? Some of us have foundations in our lives that need to be uprooted and taken out. They're holding us captive in some areas of growth that God wants to overcome for us. And so what are the values and habits and practices and bedrock beliefs that are serving under the ground of your life? Does this make sense to anybody today? This series is a look at four primary foundation stones of the life of a Christian. Now, I could do a 12-week series on this, but we're going to do four, and maybe we'll revisit this in another year and do like a part two of the foundation series. But this series, we're going to look at four foundation stones. Number one is prayer. Number two, we're going to look at the foundation of the church and the body of Christ and what God's called us to be, and that's next week. Then the third week on St. Patrick's Day. That was terrible. Top of the morning to you. Anyway, we're going to have the foundation of the Bible. And listen, we have got to elevate the scripture in our lives again. You know the greatest problem with us as followers of Jesus? We don't read the Bible, we don't memorize the Bible, so we don't live by the Bible. And the Bible is it's the source document for how we get to know Christ better. Like the center of Christianity is Jesus. But the primary gift of how we know him better is the Bible. So the third week we're gonna look at the Bible. Fourth week we're gonna look at the foundation of the mission of God. How many of you know God's still at work? And he's asked us to be a part of that. So as we get into this first one on prayer, I want you to write these notes down, and I'm going to give you a lot today, but I just want you to, I'm going to end on time, and I'm going to give you a lot today. I'm going to do my best to end on time. But before we talk about how to pray, and I know sometimes in a prayer message, we want to come away with tools of how to get God to move and what's the right way to say it. Before we talk about any of that stuff, I want us to realize some of the heart of prayer, and it starts with understanding that prayer forms and transforms us. Prayer is about making you different. Prayer is about transforming you. Before prayer is about moving God, prayer is about forming you. It's imperative that we understand the why to prayer. It has way more to do with being with the Lord than getting something from the Lord. Many of us have learned that prayer is a way to get to God and to move God. Hey, what do you need in your life? Let's pray about it. What do you need God to do for you? Let's pray about it. How do you need God to act in your life? Let's pray about it. I want us to stop thinking about prayer as dropping off a checklist to God and start thinking about prayer as moving into the presence of God. I mean, think about this. If Jesus Christ were to walk into this room right now in the flesh, how many of you would come at him with your list versus how many of you would just go, I just want to be around you. I just want to be by you. Oh my gosh, smell his cologne. That's what I would do. I'd be like, bro hug. That's good. Some of us only know how to approach prayer as if he's like a servant of ours. As if, God, here's what I need from you today. Here's what I need from you this week. Here's what I need from you this month. God, a promotion would be awesome. God, my family's in turmoil. Lord, I'm physically sick. I have needs. But if Jesus were to walk in the room, I think there's a place for that, and we're going to see it in a moment. There's a place to petition to the Lord and ask of God. But what if prayer was first about proximity to God? If Jesus came in the room, I just want to sit by him. I just want to hear what he says. He didn't even have to talk. I just want to be around him. And what if we started looking at prayer like that? It's about the presence of God. There's a great book, historic book, called Practicing the Presence of God. I encourage all of you to look that up and get it. When I was in seminary, we took a class called Spiritual Formation. And that's like a fancy word for basically God wants to form you as a spiritual person through spiritual disciplines. Listen, spiritual disciplines like prayer, fasting, worship, giving, studying the Bible, sharing our faith, doing ministry, none of these things are meant to be a part of you impressing God. God's not impressed with your prayer life. God's not impressed with how quickly you read the Bible. God's not impressed, more impressed or less impressed with you by your disciplines. God wants to press himself into you, and it's through disciplines. That's why we do these things. That's why we pray, is because we want to be more like God. The spiritual disciplines are not meant to be tools to impress him, but they are disciplines that shape us. Studying the Bible will form you and transform you. Giving shapes you. Fasting makes you a different person in Christ. Studying your scripture, spending time in prayer doesn't make God more impressed with your Christianity. It will cause you to be more like Jesus. So before we get into the how to pray, let's talk about why prayer is important. It's less about dropping off your lists and more about how God wants to form you, to get to you, and to have you come closer to him, to become more like Jesus, to be less like you and less like this world. You know, our culture says you just be the best you. No, I don't want to be the best me. I want to be who God's designed me to be. Me being more of me gets me in trouble. Ask my wife. Me being more of me is temperamental and critical and angry and like too perfectionist. Me being more like Jesus is what prayer's about. I'll tell you, the times I'm more like me is when I'm less in the presence of God. She'll tell you that's true, and I know I will too. So I want to help change some of the ways we think about prayer. Don't think about it as duty or as a meeting you need to keep to check off some boxes. Think of prayer as a constant open door into the very presence of God. Think of prayer as an open door into the relationship with God that every person really needs. Think of prayer as this dynamic conversation and hangout times with the best friend in the whole universe. Anybody got friends that you just, whenever you get together, you pick right up, you're in this dynamic, I call it a dynamic texting conversation, or this dynamic conversation. No matter what, you can send an emoji, you can send a stupid video or a picture, you can just share life, or hey, pray for me about this, hey bro, I was thinking about you today, or what, you know, you can just share anything, and just constant dynamic conversation with your closest friend. That's what prayer is more of than a list. If you can let me just nerd out for a minute. If you remember the story of mankind, God created us in his image, and that is to be relational and intimate with him. But sin separated us from God. All of a sudden, it's impossible to be in God's presence because of sin. In fact, the nature of God and mankind at the beginning was to do life together, to spend time together every day. But we fell into sin, and mankind began to hide from God. And we hide in our shame. We hide in our guilt. Listen to me. We hide in our religion because we think that's the way to earn back our way to God. But Jesus would come to restore right relationship with God, so that the relationship that was ruined by sin would be rightly restored because of Christ, and we would literally have open access to God again. Listen, if you don't know this, in the old covenant, there was this temple place of meeting, and there were multiple layers to prepare yourself to meet with God. Inside the center of the temple was this place they called the Holy Place of the Holies, the Holy of Holies. So there's a courtyard, an outer room, an inner room, and there was... Then, but before you got to the Holy of Holies, which no one was able to get to except a priest who had no sin in his life. But between the inner court and the Holy of Holies was this really thick curtain that went from ceiling to floor. And it was like thick, thick curtain. And a priest would have to have been absolved of all sin, perfectly clean, no bad attitudes, no jealousy, gossip, discord. If he went in that holy of holy place with any sin on his life, he'd die in the presence of God. And then Jesus came. And Jesus dies on the cross for us to repair relationship. Jesus just didn't die to start a new religion. He actually died to repair relationship. And listen to what happened. When Christ died on the cross, the Bible says that the sky went dark, the earth quaked, and that curtain split from top to bottom. Now, why is that significant? It's not because the building was unstable. It's because God says, all clear, all access has been granted. Welcome home. Come on in. Anybody's welcome into my presence now. And prayer is about a confidence to walk into that space and to go into that place. When Jesus died, he literally opens access. We no longer approach God through a priest or a pastor or a prophet or through perfect behavior or through King James English. Now, bless God, we go right into the presence of God because Jesus came to repair that. Look what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 4. This isn't Paul. He says, look, let us come boldly To the throne. We don't walk in with timidity and with, oh man, I hope I don't have any issues in my life. I hope I say the right words. I hope I gave enough this week to get to pray. No, we boldly come into the throne room. We boldly come into the place of our precious God. And there we receive his mercy and we find grace, the power of God to live for God, to help us when we need it most. Prayer is about a confident stroll into the home. Prayer is like, say, it's like having a key to the house. You know, when you got friends, they're like, hey man, just keep a key to my house. Come whenever you want. Eat from the kitchen, drink from the fridge, whatever you want. My home is your home. Some of y'all ain't got friends like that. Y'all need to get friends. Join a life group. Get you some friends. Especially find a friend with a nice house so they give you their key. Come on, somebody. Prayer is about you and I having a key to the house of God. Prayer is about having a constant hall pass to the holy place. Prayer is the access place, way to the very presence of God all the time. And listen to me, church, your access to God never goes away. You don't have to earn it. It's been earned for you. You can confidently come into the very proximity of God himself anytime we want. And prayer is how we do that. I love the way Jesus flowed with his disciples. He didn't tell them what language to use, how to perfect themselves, or how well he needed them to act, or anything like that. He literally said, come follow me. Come do life with me. Come be with me. Come dwell with me. Come hang with me. Let me tell you, hanging with Jesus is the best way for disciples to live life and become like God. And we need to realize that when we pray, we get into the proximity of Jesus. We need to treat it like we're just there to just be with him and dwell in his house and dwell in his presence. We boldly come into the presence of God. And that's the place that he forms us and he transforms us. I don't know about you, but I couldn't hang around Jesus for very long without being made different. I'm not going to hang out with Jesus and be like, man, you just got to accept me for who I am, bro. That's just not how it works. That's just not how it works. You don't get to hang with Christ enough and it not change you. And that's why prayer is so important. We boldly come into his presence. That's where he shapes us. We become more like him the more we spend time with him. You know, it's true in any relationship. The more time you spend with someone, the more you know their likes and dislikes, the more you become like them. I know never to take my wife to Red Lobster. I've known her for 20 years. She does not eat anything that came out of the water. By the way, I'm Cajun. I don't know what the deal is with that. God, why? So whenever we have a date night, I never go, babe, get your lobster bib on, let's go. I've hung with her enough to know she likes steak and burgers. I know her, and it shapes the way I date her. Does that make sense? And there's something about being in the presence of God that shapes us and transforms us. Eugene Peterson, great pastor, says it like this: prayer gets us in on what God's doing. So many of us treat prayer like, God, let me tell you what I need. God, let me tell you what I'm doing. Let me check in with you. No. Prayer is about us getting in on what God's doing. Prayer is the way we work our way out of the comfortable but cramped world of ourselves, and we get into the spacious world of God. Man, we're going to get to how to pray in a moment, but I want you to think about prayer as proximity to Jesus. Think about prayer first as just hanging out with God in a very personal relationship. Think of prayer as practicing presence. Let me give you some thoughts here. Write this down for me. Prayer is seeing Jesus in relationship before seeing Jesus as your resource. He's not a genie in a bottle, baby. Right? He's not. Like, we've got to stop treating Jesus like a servant of ours. Here's what I need. Would you please handle that in Jesus' name? How cocky are we? Prayer is about relationship before it is about resource. Do you have any friends that you don't ask anything from? You just enjoy their presence? That's how prayer should be. Prayer is more about our formation than it is a certain formula. Prayer is more about God getting a hold of you than it is about you getting a hold of him, his hand, rather. Prayer is about our transformation before it is about a transaction. Man, I want us to look at prayer as relational over ritual. Anybody excited about this besides me? I'm so excited about this right now. Like this whole week, I'm going to challenge you to pray. Just spend time with God. Treat prayer like a place where you can confidently go to meet with God even if you don't ask him for anything. When's the last time you prayed and didn't ask God for anything? That's how I feel prayer should become first. Now, there's a place for asking. There's a place for petitioning, and we'll get there in a moment. But here's the thing. Before I drop off my needs, I want to make sure that I'm praying God's desires for my life, right? Psalm 37:4 says it like this. Delight yourself in the Lord. That means just dwell with him. Be a part of him. Be in his space. Let him be in your space. Look at this. Delight yourself in the Lord and watch. He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, some of us read this and we go, sweet, that's how I get God to do something for me. I delight in him. I want a new car. I want a bigger house. I want a promotion. I want my marriage fixed. God, I got all kinds of desires. So all I got to do is delight in you. And that's how I get all that stuff done. The problem with religion is we read scripture through the filter of formula instead of formation. That was good. I just made it up. Tweet that. Don't read this as formula. Read it as formation. Watch this. You delight yourself in the Lord. Here's the command and here's the promise. Don't focus on the promise. Here's what we do. How do I get God to give me my desires? Well, then I go back and do. No. The command is delight yourself in the Lord. Now watch. And he will give you desires. He'll give you desires. All of a sudden, you'll start desiring the things that he desires. And you'll start desiring the things that he desires for you. And you'll start going, wow, I want to pray more. I want to give more. I want to be a kingdom person more. I want to be a church person more. I want to sow generously. I want to love people. I want to forgive the person who hurt me. I want to live out the desires that God is putting in me. Now listen, delight yourself in the Lord. And he'll start giving you new desires. You know, that promotion may not matter when God removes that desire and replaces it with contentment. Your marriage might get better when you stop the wanderlust and thinking the grass is greener in someone else's field. Come on, somebody. It ain't. Grass is greener where you water it, bless God. And it may be that God changes your desire for your neighbor's wife and reinserts his desire for your wife because you've delighted in him. He'll put desires in you. And here's the second part of this promise. Not only will he put desires in you, but then when you pray, you start going, God, I feel like this is what you want for me. I feel like this is what you have for me. And so, God, I'm just lifting this up to you. Lord, I don't care about my promotion. I care about you being promoted. I don't care about my money. I care about your kingdom. And God, whoo, Lord, I'm just praying what you put in me. And all of a sudden, God says this. He goes, I will gladly do what I put in you anyway. See, so often people want to ask me, and I've heard this question so many times as a pastor, how do I get God to answer my prayers? Wrong way to ask that question. How do I align myself to God's will so that when I pray, I know that God hears me and he's doing, oh, y'all don't believe me. Watch this, 1 John. Writer John wrote the Gospel of John, preached through that 2 years ago for a year and a half. Look what he says. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, how do we get his will? Delight. Just get in the room with Jesus. Just get alone with God. Turn off Netflix, turn off your phone, get alone with God. Delight in him. Just say to him when you start, Lord, I'm delighting in you. I don't even know what this feels like. But delighting in him means you're not delighting in other things. Right? Look, this is the confidence we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, because we've delighted in him and we've spent time with him and in his word and in prayer, look at this. We know confidently that he hears us. And we know that, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we're asking, does that look like prayer? Then we know that we have the requests that we've asked of him. How do you get God to answer your prayer? Spend time with God. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time with the Holy Spirit. Spend time with God. And listen, your confidence will go up because your presence has just grown with him. And all of a sudden, you'll start praying the things that God wants for you. Is this making sense to anybody besides me and three people? Come on now. Now listen, before, so many times in prayer, we talk, I've heard messages, I've read books, I've seen studies on how to get God to answer your prayer. What is it? P-U-S-H, push. Pray until something happens. F-R-O-G, forget regulations on God. I don't know what frog means. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got all these little cute sayings about G-A-P, get after prayer. God answers prayer. I don't know what we say. But like, if God never answers a single prayer of yours, is he still worth delighting in? If God never comes through with a single request that you've asked him, is he still worth your delight? This is the confidence we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. Now, religion teaches us to make this a formula, but relationship reminds us to practice presence. Right? Delight yourself in the Lord. Spend time with him. Like, what if we started in prayer with worship and adoration and just presence, just for reflection? You anybody got any friends that you can sit in a room with and not talk and feel like you had a great visit? I got friends like that. I can do that with my wife. I can sit on the couch next to her and we both be reading or doing something unrelated to looking eye to eye to each other, and we feel like there's proximity and there's closeness and we're just doing time together. Man, that's what I want prayer to be for us first. Now, I'm going to get to the petitioning part. I'm going to get to the asking God to heal and to do all those things. But let's first look at prayer as a transformative thing for us. I mean, you got to remember the cosmological story of what God did in Christ. Is he said, you're welcome back into my holy place. That's good right there. I don't care what you say. Amen, Pastor Mike. No. I'll do it myself. Don't do it now. It ain't right. It don't feel the same. Eugene Peterson again saying, the task of prayer is not to get God to do something that I think he needs to do. Look at this. But to become aware of what God's already doing so I can then participate in it. One of my seminary professors used to say to us all the time, he'd go, you don't have a ministry. God has a ministry and you work for him. Like, I want to be a part of what God is doing. And how do I discover that? Delight in him. Now, this wouldn't be a great sermon if we didn't have some kind of practical application of how to do it. But you guys getting the big point here at first? Like, make it about presence and connection to God more than a list you drop off. Amen. Could you imagine doing your marriage that way? I mean, it's great to see you today on this Monday morning. Here's what I have for you this week. If you don't mind, here's the 7 dinners I'd like to have this week. If you could pack my lunch, that'd be great. My laundry's getting a little full. I'd like for you to take care of that. And if you don't mind, drop a little cash in my wallet too, because I got some things I need. Here's my list. I'll catch you next Sunday. Some of us treat God that way in prayer. Hello. God, here's what's on my agenda today. I'd appreciate you to bless this part, this part, this part. Curse that part, especially her. Smite my enemies, you mighty smiter, if you wouldn't mind. That'd be great. I'm sorry. Smitest thou mine enemies. So we don't know how to pray outside of the KJV. How about as I come into your presence, past the gates of praise, I look upon your countenance. I can only see your face, God. I worship you, Almighty God. I lift up the most high praise because you're good and you're faithful. And I don't need you to do anything for me. I want you to be with me. Like, what if that was our posture of prayer? I'm serious. I want to see our church built on prayer. I want to see us pray more. I got to pray more. I'm going to grow in this. I want to grow in this. And I think it starts with how we treat prayer. Some of us have been frustrated with praying because we feel like God's not answering. And I feel like we'll allay some of that frustration if we'd start practicing presence instead of just dropping off checklists. And there's a place for petition. Here it is. Watch this. I want to help us with some of the disciples came to Jesus and they said, teach us how to pray. And I'm going to go through this quickly and then we're going to close. I'm going to give you my list and then I'm going to give you Jesus' list. How many of you know it's good to end on top? Let me tell you what I say. These are some instructions I would give you if I were to teach you to pray. And then I'm going to tell you how Jesus said to pray. First of all, I'm going to encourage you with this. This is my list. You know, when Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he goes, this is me speaking, not the Lord. He's talking about marriage. Y'all don't know that because you didn't read it. Okay. Caught you. All right. Number one, get alone with God. And don't just pray at dinner tables and bedtimes. Like, get along with God. Find a space, find a time, put it on your calendar. Look at this. Put it on your calendar. Make an appointment with God and keep it. I don't care if it's 20 minutes. I don't care if it's an hour. I don't care. Just get along with God. Put it on your calendar. Be consistent. Do it every day. Daniel prayed five times a day. David, multiple times a day in prayer. He was just consistent with prayer. You know, the favor of God that was on David was not because of his skill, but it was because of his prayer life. Jesus got up every day to pray. He was consistent. He got alone with God. He put it on his calendar every morning, and he was consistent. Listen, stay honest in prayer. Don't sterilize your language because you think Jesus can't handle your cussing. He's been listening to you cuss all week long. He heard you cuss on Wilma Rudolph. He heard you cuss on Fort Campbell. He ain't afraid of your language. You know what I'm saying? Just be honest in prayer. And be relational more than transactional. We're going to get to the transaction piece next. But let prayer become relational first. Does that make sense? All right, so here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Disciples come to him, teach us to pray. Jesus actually starts the model of prayer by saying, God knows everything you need. So let me just clue all of you in on something here real quick. Look at me. God's not surprised by your checklist. God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows everything you need. And Jesus said, pray this way anyway. Watch this. Our Father, which art in heaven. Start with reverence. Like, just revere the Lord. God, you are the God of the heavens. You're the God who created it all. You were before all. You're going to be after all. You're the biggest thing in the universe. You're my Father. You're the Father to the fatherless. You're not just some dude on the street you speak to casually. This is the Almighty God, creator of everything, the Master, the Maker, the Heavenly Father. Revere him, respect him, and come into his presence boldly with love and adoration. Look what he says. Hallowed be your name. This is worship. This is where you put a CD on. This is where you put on a little LifePoint worship playlist on Spotify. You get a little song in your heart. Speak praise and worship and adoration. God, you are good. Your name be lifted up. There's none like you, Lord God. I will build my life upon you, Lord. It is my firm foundation. You are Jehovah Shalom, the God of my peace. You are Jehovah Rohi, God who heals. Rapha, God who heals. Jehovah Rohi, God who shepherds my life. I worship your name. I worship your name. At the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow in heaven and earth and under the earth. Notice I ain't asked God for nothing yet. By the way, this part of my prayer, when I do this, this is my go-to model of prayer. I'm already 10 minutes into this prayer time. Some of us learned, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus never gave that prayer to be recited. He gave that prayer as a guide. So I'm showing you how the guide works. Third, submission. Before you ask God for anything, submit. Lord, I pray your kingdom come, not my kingdom. God, I don't pray for my promotion or my advancement or my agendas. I pray for your agenda. I pray for your name to be lifted up. I pray that your kingdom would come in my neighborhood. I pray your kingdom come in my job. I pray, God, that your kingdom would come in Clarksville. I pray that your kingdom, your reign and your rule would come in this situation, in that situation. I'm confused about this. I don't understand this, God. I pray your kingdom come. I pray your will be done before I ask you for anything, God. I pray your will be done. Submission, third. Fourth is provision. Now, God, would you give me today my daily bread? I need healing. Lord Jesus, I need a touch in my marriage, God. I need you to come through in my finances, God. You see where I'm asking now? After I've been littered with praise and adoration and surrender, then I go to God with my list. There's a place for that. And God, I pray that you provide your provision. God, forgive me for my sin. I blew it yesterday, God, on that Wilma Rudolph, bless the Lord, on the interstate, getting on exit 11. Hallelujah. Pray your forgiveness for me and help me forgive others. Jesus would later say, if you can't forgive others, you're not really understanding the grace concept, and I'm not sure that you've been forgiven. I can't forgive you if you're not a forgiver. So we got to pray through some forgiveness. Some of us got some old wounds that we need to keep before the Lord. Protection, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Lord, that coworker I got, he is so fine, but he is so not my husband. So Lord, deliver me from temptation. Lead me not, Lord God. Keep my eyes on Jesus or on the pavement. Hallelujah. Good to see you, brother. Bless you. Yep, you stay over there. Get out of my face in Jesus' name. Get behind me, devil, you handsome devil, you. God, I pray, lead me not into temptation, so I ain't even going to look at him, Lord Jesus. Help me. I'm tempted to lie, tempted to steal. God, lead me not into temptation. And then we end. Look what we started with, reverence and worship. And look at this. We end with praise. For yours is the kingdom. God, it's all about you. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. This is how we pray. Get alone. Make it consistent. Put it on your calendar. Follow the model of Jesus. Listen, we got Pray First guides in the lobby, at our Welcome Center, at our bookstore. They're free. Take them. The Lord's Prayer is in there. There's many guides of prayer. But listen, before we get transactional in prayer, we need a foundation of relationship with God in prayer. Anybody say amen to that this morning? Hey, as we close, I want to share a story with you. Last October, Hurricane Michael is the strongest hurricane to hit the panhandle of Florida. It's no surprise that a hurricane named Michael was super strong. See what I did there, Josh? Hurricane Michael was the strongest hurricane to hit the panhandle of Florida ever, especially when it came to the pressure and 155 mile an hour winds. Mexico City Beach was devastated, decimated. In fact, you can see where homes were destroyed, except for this one. And this became a matter of national news. You can Google surviving house after Hurricane Michael, and this story will pop up. There's a couple from out of state that built this as a vacation home in Florida. And they had done a lot of study on the hurricane winds and strengths and the storm that would come. How many of you know Jesus said, when the storms come, not if? Now watch this. Three-story vacation home. It's actually two stories on a 10-foot topper there so water can get in. And below the ground, they built this house on 40-foot deep pylons. Reinforced concrete. It's the only house on the entire beach that's 40 feet into the ground with foundation rock. And everybody's so blown away by how this is the only house that survived. The issue is not anything to do above ground. For this house, the reason it stood is everything that was below ground was their foundation. And I got to tell you something, church. Storms are coming to you. Maybe storms of sickness or despair or poverty or losing a job. It may be a storm of a PCS or a move. Maybe a storm of a deployment. Maybe the storm of a loss of a loved one. Storms are coming. But the foundations we need to survive the storms are prayer, the word of God, belonging to the body, and being about God's mission. So this series is about asking you, what foundations are you laying in your life? What foundations are you establishing in your life? And let me tell you something, if prayer is not one of those foundations, storms are coming and you will fall. Look at every house around. If you're not used to the presence of God, when the storm comes, Jesus said, the person who builds his house on the sand, great and mighty is his fall. Hey, let me lead you in a time of prayer. Can we stand together today? Did y'all get anything out of the message today, everybody? Praise the Lord. If we can clear this screen for me, that'd be helpful. I want to lead us in a time of prayer. And even if you're watching, I just want to say thank you so much for being a part of our service. But let's just go to the Lord in prayer, this time of just adoration and worship and thanks to God. And let's start there, and then we'll close out our time together. Can we lift our hands? Just open our hands to the Lord. Come on, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. We worship you. We adore you. Come on, church, lift up your voice to the Lord. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart and give him praise. Come on, that's what the Bible says. Lord, return to us the joy of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that we are at peace with you, Lord God, that we love you, that God, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We thank you, Lord God, that you are perfect and good and pleasant. And we honor you this morning. We worship you today. We bless your holy name. Great is the Lord. Great to be praised. We come into your presence and we build our life on the foundation of prayer. In Jesus' name, to God be all glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory in Jesus' name. To God be the glory in Jesus' name. Lord, we commit our lives to you. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord God. We thank you for the goodness of God. We thank you for the joy of the Lord as our strength. And Lord, today we want to build our life on prayer. We want to build our life on the presence of God. So Lord, today would you give us the discipline to go home and start making some schedule changes and God, make some priority changes and some differences to our rhythms and routines so that, God, we can prioritize your presence. in Jesus' name. Lord, we repent for only treating you as a genie in a bottle. God, we repent for coming at you with our lists without first coming to you with our love. So Lord, that's what we want to do. We commit ourselves completely to you. Commit our lives and our hearts to you, Jesus. Come on, everybody, pray this with me. Say, God, I'm all in. Say, I believe in Jesus, that he died for my sin, and he's opened the way for me to have relationship with God forever. Say, I build my life on Jesus Christ, and I will live for you for the rest of my life in Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing this chorus.